Oh my gosh, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce this caller by saying that at one point, she was the number two fan of of the radio show that
goes. Who's the number one fan?
Number one fan is her friend. She was number one, but very quickly she became number two because her friend became number one.
Oh.
Not number two in the very bad disgusting
way. And
now
what number is she?
Well, she sort of slid down a little bit because she has stopped listening mostly to the show. But, because it's late. She works on Mondays and whatever. And
shame on her. She's
and the show sucked without
four.
But she may rise up to number three now because Pam is on the telephone and she's joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, hello, number two fan, almost.
No, she's like four.
Hi, Pam, how are you?
Hi, I'm excited. The reason why I said I was going to call was, well, I said I was going to call, but the other thing was that you guys are talking about flying and points and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, especially the blah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm sitting there, and Arnold's listening also. He's in with the radio, and I had to move away from the radio because I was
thinking. Is Arnold like number six fan?
Is Arnold, what number fan is Arnold?
I think he's like number seven.
That's not bad.
Well, out of 6 billion listeners, that's
yeah, right. That's very good. So you moved away from Arnold because you were distracted.
Yeah, because of the radio. You know, like it was like I heard you talking and then I heard me on the phone and it was weird.
Oh yeah, of course, absolutely.
Yeah.
Please turn your radio down.
So what do you have to contribute to this conversation about flying?
Arnold hates to fly.
Because.
I don't know why. He just doesn't like it.
Well, you must get him Erica Jong's book.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh. She got it. She got the joke. Yay. Well, she works in a library.
Yeah.
I know this, so she would get that joke. What about
can you explain the joke?
Dave?
You
yeah.
have to buy Erica Jong's book for him.
Do you mean young?
No,
like
no,
psychologist
no.
young?
Oh, no, she didn't get it. Oh, well.
Oh, I got, like, young. I thought you said
Erica
young.
Erica Jong wrote a book years ago called Fear of Flying.
And which had nothing to do with airlines. And
no, it had to do with sex.
Jeez. All right, I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
I'll have to Google this whole thing.
But what do you think of flying, Pam? Do you like it? I know you like motorcycling. That's your thing.
I like riding.
Yeah, and motorcycling as well.
And where was the last place you flew? And how many miles did you accumulate in 3 days?
Punta Cana.
Watch your language.
Nice.
Yeah.
In October, so not that long ago. My cousin decided to get married there. She had a destination wedding, which is really nice.
Very nice.
So that was fun. Oh, and my luggage was delayed. What can I do for that? Can I get something for that?
Oh, yeah. Well, Tom, you were very much inconvenienced, and you expect to be compensated for that.
Right.
Just tell me, you had a big affair to go to, your cousin's wedding, and you were at the dress rehearsal in the loose-fitting clothes that you traveled in.
Good point. How long ago was this?
She said it was in October.
October 24th.
She could still send a letter.
What airline is it?
Yeah.
American.
Oh, good. Okay.
Definitely.
I'm not on that airline, so you can sue them.
Okay.
No, you know what? American, I mean, I had a miserable time last year when we went to Aruba because we were stuck there an extra day and blah, blah,
we
blah.
We heard this story.
And but I'm saying we wrote to them
yeah.
and they made good. You know,
yeah.
they gave us something for our
yeah.
pay, aside from the overhead
you
hotel.
You will get something. You will get either a free flight or you'll get some sort of money, you know, a discount. They'll send you, like United is big on sending you $50, $100, $200 off a flight.
Oh, just off an upcoming flight? Well,
yeah.
That's all right if you plan
yeah,
to fly.
You know what you said before? I meant to mention it when you said Pam motorcycles and she flies. Something like that. I don't know what you said, but I did fly off my motorcycle once.
You mean you literally took a header?
It literally flew.
Nice.
I was airborne.
How did you come down on
it's
your...
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Pam.
It's Pam.
And it's a good thing, because she didn't stick to the road.
Do you know? No, but do you know what she said? Ah!
No, she didn't.
I did.
Yeah, of course she did. You were going, 25 miles an hour on a motor... Or, gosh, no. Was it a bicycle or a motorbike?
Motorcycle.
Oh, my God. You were probably going, 30
she went,
miles
whoops.
An hour?
I wasn't going that fast. I was going, maybe 30, and I should have been going, 15.
And
around
how far
really
did you fly?
Yeah, really. How, you know...
Was it longer than the Wright brothers?
Yes. No, I flew probably about 10 feet.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know.
It's a short hop.
Well, were you hurt or not
nothing,
hurt?
Nothing.
Cool.
Nothing happened to me.
Would
my
you
bike
land
was
on
almost
your
total,
head?
Yeah, but nothing happened to
the
me.
The bike was almost total. That's mm-hmm. So were you hit or you just hit a bump?
I was making a really tight turn.
Yeah.
And I wasn't looking. I was looking at something else. I was distracted again, once again. Yeah, and whatever. It's like an inside joke, but it's really not that funny.
What'd you hit?
Cyclists with ADHD.
The road is really like round, and I thought I could make it, and I didn't. I just went straight.
You went off the road.
Yeah.
You went off-road biking.
So when's your next trip? When's that gonna?
My next trip?
No, Pam. Our guest has got one more question for Pam here. When's your next adventure?
We'll see you next fall.
Let me think. What is this trip? January, February, March, April, June.
Two.
The to Laconia. That's a motorcycle trip.
Oh, okay. Where to?
When are you next getting on an airplane?
On an airplane?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going on an airplane, because then after that I'm going to go on a cruise. I have big cruisers.
Ooh.
Cruises are the big thing. I when I talked to a travel agent, she said, yeah, I mean, people are either booking their own airfares because of all these discount flight things, or they're not going anywhere because of the cost of everything in Europe and everywhere else where the dollar sucks. But cruises are the big things.
Well, actually, travel agents want you to cruise.
Because
they're not getting the commission they used to get on airplanes.
Right.
They're getting it from the cruise lines.
Yeah.
So they kind of say, oh, the cruise is better.
It's a good deal. It really is. It's a good deal. It's nice.
Is it a Norwegian cruise?
Arnold, I've been on, like, a lot of different companies. The best is Celebrity. You know the commercials? They really do treat you like you're a celebrity.
Those are the ones with the X's on those big things.
Ooh. I'd rather be on a Penelope cruise, if you ask me, but I don't know what that means. Anywho.
Although he's been on a Tom Cruise.
I bet you're fine. Speak for yourself. Anywho. Pam.
I want to say Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa.
And Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year.
Are you going to call in tomorrow? You know, it's going to be the big New Year's special here at WGBB from 7 o'clock.
I think I will.
From 7 to 7:15, and then we come back at 11.
No, we're here until almost like 10, and then from 11 to midnight. So you've got a lot of time, a lot of opportunity, Pam.
My question is, what the hell is coming on from 10 to 11?
You're not going
to
believe this.
What?
The Manos Galanos Greek music program.
Really?
Yep, they ain't preempting it. There's got to be, you know, no matter what. It could be another 9/11. They're going to play Manos Galanos' Greek music program at 10 o'clock. Because, you know, Greek music is important.
Yeah. So you cannot end the year without Greek music.
End being the operative. Okay, enough of that.
Oh, that was a good one.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So, Pam, call us tomorrow if you can. If not, happy New Year to you and your hubby. And,
to you and number 7.
Yeah, exactly.
Number 7. But he may be number 1 YouTube Shalom Dammit fan. So I don't know.
Oh, yay. Oh, that's
But funny. Have you actually watched it on television yet?
I thought a little. Like, I was kind of like asleep, and I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, I remember, 7:30. But I actually appreciate it more on YouTube.
Because if you wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning to see it, you go, damn it.
7:30, yeah, but yeah, on YouTube you can watch it anytime. You can watch it over and over again.
You have to wake up at 7 to see it at 7:30.
Yeah, you're waking up at 7:30, you're just going to get your eye open by the time of the end credits. But, well, that's great. That's great. Thanks so much for his and your enjoying Shalom Dammit, the Rabbi Saul Solomon show on TV. It's on Wednesdays, by the way, Channel 20 on Woodbury Cablevision, so everybody can watch 7:30 in the morning on Wednesdays. And thanks,
of course,
Pam.
I have nothing else to do.
Good night.
Happy New Year.
Bye.
Pam, ladies and gentlemen, I'm now dubbing her number 3 fan. She's moved up definitely a notch, and if she calls tomorrow, she goes back
who's
to number 2.
Who
has a friend, a close friend that she turned on to Dave's Gone By, and her friend got more into it than she did.
And who else is before her?
Hello, 1 and 2. That's no, there's a 3 in there somewhere.
She's 4, but she's moving up to 3.
So now who jockeys into 4? That's a
well,
good point.
I would hope it would be your wife, as if there's someone.
My wife is probably in the top 20 somewhere.
And how about your parents?
Dad. Dad is the number, yeah. Yeah, he always calls and he's always listening. Dad is definitely right up there. Kind of sad when a relative has to be in your number. So I don't want to count. I love my relatives, but I don't want to count them.
Okay, well, how about the guy you pay to listen?
Oh, there's like several.
Bruce.
Who's that?
Bruce. A paid listener.
I don't, either I'm not getting, no, I do have a fan named Bruce, but he's not, you know, I don't pay, you know,
well, who do you pay to listen?
Have you seen my bank account? Nobody! I've been begging people to pay me. That's why we have sponsors, ladies and gentlemen. At least on the
well, but this show is not sponsored.
No.
This
we know why.
This is a little big time.
This is a little big time. We have a couple more minutes, and then we go to Dave's Gone By.
Well, we haven't even talked about my little Thailand trip.
Well, you have
which,
3 minutes.
Where I went to celebrate the 80th birthday of the King of Thailand.
Okay, well, tell me.
It was very exciting. And not only that, we went and we stood outside the Grand Palace for the day of his birthday. And, you know, of course, they closed
it off.
Stood
outside his Grand Palace.
The Grand Palace. And you got your little Thailand flag, and I have my little king flag.
Aww.
Because he has his own flag. And you're waving it. But we were right out in the entrance, and all of a sudden, all these people start walking out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping it's someone important. And these limos start coming out. Well, who do I see but, like, a couple of...
Tom Cruise.
A ton of ambassadors, you know?
Yeah.
And I want you to know that I waved, and the Israeli ambassador waved back at me. It's a woman.
Oh, very good.
Because they have that flag. And I went a little nuts when I saw the USA flag on this car, and the USA ambassador gave me a thumbs up.
That's so American.
I know.
How did the Israeli one do it? Did she do like
she
a...
She waved.
Oh.
Well, because no one else was waving. It was just me.
Did the German ambassador give you like the Sieg Heil or something? Or the...
No, a couple of ambassadors like looked... Quizzically, I got a couple of like, oh, okay.
Okay. Who is the round face?
But yes.
The round-eyed man.
But it was actually very exciting.
Good.
And then we saw the king's car go by, and that was very exciting. Everyone went crazy. And then we went, and oh, I'll tell you, one of the big differences, you know, they have these big things, and across the street from the Grand Palace is this big park. It was wall-to-wall-to-wall people. Now, my friend never went there, and he lives in Thailand. Everyone who lives there doesn't go, but these people from all over the country, they bus in. You know,
yeah.
I don't know if they pay for it. But we're walking, and I see all these people lined up for food. I said, wow, I wonder how much they'll charge these poor people for food because, you know, everyone's going to make a buck. You know what he told me?
The poor people eat free.
Eat free who go there.
Wow.
If I were to stand in line, I would have been served for free.
But you didn't want to do it because...
Because I have the money. I can afford it.
So you'd rather have it go to the people who can't afford
yes,
it.
Yes, of course.
Aw. You've actually done one nice thing in your life. I can't believe
yes.
it. Well, anyway, I'm glad you had a great time.
Wait.
No, there's no waiting. You'll have to wait until we get to the regular show. The
and then the fireworks happen.
The fireworks. All of that. There's going to be fireworks tonight. No, there won't be fireworks tonight. But what there will be is Inside Broadway, where I'll be reviewing Cymbeline, the Shakespeare revival that's happening at Lincoln Center.
Close.
We'll also be talking about the best and worst theater of 2007, because it's a year-ending sort of a show. And just a lot of thank yous and a lot of remembrances of the year past on Dave's Gone
By.
The year gone by. So that's happening in really just a few seconds. Hang tight, everybody, because we will be right back.
Hold on to something.
From the miles of my nautical heart and the heart of my dog's nudicles, you're listening to Dave's Gone By on the station that serves your community, AM 1240 WGBB Freeport. Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight! Every cover of day, twirling around at night.
Well, there goes the neighborhood, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this December 30th, 2007, the Sunday night, the very last Sunday in December and in 2007, to the 253rd episode of Dave's Gone By. We're calling this one the night before, because we are, of course, Erev New Year's Eve, which is Erev New Year's. And I'm Dave Lefkowitz. I'm the host of Dave's Gone By, have been since the show started 5.5, almost, years ago. I'm here with my good friend and my guest co-host, Jeff Goodman, who's back from all sorts of travels, including Thailand. Welcome, Jeff.
Hello, Dave.
Hello.
I guess if you weren't the host since the beginning, it might not be called Dave's Gone By.
Well, it could have been Dave Garraway, or maybe Dave Letterman hit some hard times. But
or Dave Smith,
strike.
For that matter.
Who's Dave Smith?
Anyone.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Davy Jones, which could be either Davy Jones or David Bowie before
he could be the guy from the Monkees.
Exactly. Or David Bowie. That was Bowie's born name, and he had to change it to Bowie because Jones was already in Actors Equity. And he wanted a cool name like Bowie. Anywho, we're wasting time already.
And he married.
Sorry? Yeah, Iman. I don't know who David Jones married. Don't really care. But I know that I'm married to this radio show and have been for 253 almost consecutive episodes.
Did you hear that, Joyce?
I'm married to my beloved and wonderful wife, Joyce, too. So here's the deal.
And you love your parents?
Of course I do.
I just want to.
We're going to get into all of that because this is the year-ending episode of Dave's Gone By. This is where we're going to go over the stuff that happened, the great guests we've had.
Are we going to laugh, cry, and sing a little bit?
Possibly. And we may, if we have time, we'll do a prostate exam, but I'm not sure.
I don't think we should get into that.
Well, yeah, I don't really want to, but, you know. Nicely done. We had a good, that was the pre-champagne cork popping. The cork of my O'Douls.
Okay, that was a cork popping from a bottle of champagne. We'll go with that.
Oh, Jeff Goodman, good to have you back. Before we get into anything about your flights, about Thailand, about anything else, let's thank...
What, would you like to hear all about that?
Well, briefly.
No, I'm only kidding. Keep...
A little
let's
bit.
Let's talk about your sponsors. Who are they?
Well, you know who they are.
I forgot. I've been out of here. I haven't been here in like 6 weeks.
You mean you didn't listen on the internet every Sunday night at 11? On
oh, yeah, I forgot, Dave. I did listen on the internet. I've just been so busy. My life's been so exciting last week. I forgot everything I listened.
Well,
episode 247 to 251 were unbelievable.
You mean like 252, huh?
This is 252.
This
is 253. Oh, last week's was amazing.
Josh Lefkowitz, non-relative. He was my guest. There's actually a monologist named Josh Lefkowitz. Who's
I love when you have monologists on. You know I didn't miss that one.
Well, the tonight show is going to be much. It's just going to be you and me, or you and I. It will be you and I, and we're going to be talking about 2007. Thanks to our sponsors, Hewlett Minuteman Press, the Copy Kings of Broadway.
Are they still opposite? Oh, I forgot to store their
opposite Lohman's, but they're next to.
Oh, that's right. They're next to Lohman's shoes.
That's right, and you get 10% off
I
any
job. I can't
do
the voice. Cause
yeah, because your voice is you've got a little cold coming back from there.
Unbelievable! I've been to all warm places.
It doesn't. You've been on airplanes.
And by the way, would we like to thank like MortgagesRock.com?
Now it's coming back to you. MortgagesRock.com. MortgagesRock.com, where you can learn to be a mortgage broker and get the commissions. It's all there at the website, MortgagesRock.com.
I turned my aunt on to that. She's going to be a mortgage broker now.
Excellent. All right, party time. Of course, you picked the worst time to go into real estate, but there you go.
No, it's a good time. Everyone's getting a good deal, so they're going to buy houses at a discount and get a good mortgage.
Nicely put. Nicely saved. Well done. Well done. You know what's also well done? The Journal Performing Arts Insider. That
I was thinking about a steak or something. Yeah. I don't know.
No, the best Broadway guide around. And off-Broadway, too. Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine.
It may not be the best, but it's certainly worthwhile.
What's better? What's better? Really, honestly.
I don't know. I have to see all of them.
Yeah, there's only a couple, really. Yeah, I mean, there's some that are bigger, like Variety will cover mostly movies, and then they'll do some chart stuff. And then
the Performing Arts Insider is a valuable, valuable resource.
Extremely so. It has been for 65 years. We're now in our 65th.
For my money, it's only been good for the last, like, five.
That, since I've been co-editing it, or editing it. Thank you so much for that, Jeff. And remember, you've only got two more days of the big, big discount. So go to davesgoneby.org to see what a discount you can get on Performing Arts Insider magazine.
Because you don't, you get ripped off in 08.
That's right. And you have to pay, like, real full prices or go to the drama bookshop and buy it there. And then we have one more sponsor, by the way. We've got to acknowledge.
I don't know. They weren't acknowledged the last couple of episodes.
Oh, yes,
were they?
Oh, yes, we took the time and we did.
The episodes I listened to.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, you can make up for it now if you happen not to hear that moment when we mentioned fancy balloons. Tell us about them, Jeff.
I'm going to be very busy blowing up balloons for tomorrow night, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted. But we decorate parties and all sorts of nonsense.
Do you have helium?
Yes, we have helium.
He has helium! There was a shortage of helium this year.
Yeah.
So, I'm not kidding about that. There was an actual helium shortage.
Makusa.
What?
I don't know. I just was thinking about Mamaku, Mamasama, Makukusa.
Helium. But Jeff has it. Jeff has the helium. He's got the balloons and the centerpieces.
We can inflate you.
That's right. God. And what phone number should people call if they want to be inflated?
516-797-3229.
One more time.
You say it.
516-797-3229 for fancy schmancy balloons. When the hell are you going to get a website? You really, really ought to have a website.
Does anyone out there want to trade a website for a party?
Oh, you know, it's not a bad deal. Don't need much.
Oh, some cough medicine.
Yeah, oh, you poor guy. As we've said, Jeff has just come back from flying everywhere to everywhere. So
with a couple of crying babies on board, that's always nice.
Yeah, they're little germ balls. So, but you love to fly. You don't care about the crying babies.
No, I don't like the crying babies. I think they should.
What can you do? They're babies.
I think they should all sit in the back.
Yeah.
And like be muffled.
But how do you sit them in the back if there's people sitting in the back?
No, you put all the babies. If you have a child section in the back.
Well, a child with parents. You have to move the parents and then give the other people the option to move forward.
Right.
But what if they don't want to move forward?
Then give them be in the baby section. Upgrade.
Oh. Yeah, okay, that's, yeah.
It's like smoking. I'll be the baby or the non-baby section.
But tell me something. Let's say there's a crying brat in first class.
Then they go to the baby section.
You're kidding, really?
Yes.
Well.
Because you have to learn to control your children.
Easier said, especially
on a long
flight. Well,
it's the parents' fault. There are no bad kids, only bad parents.
Well, there's also cranky kids or kids who sit with poopy in their diaper
usually.
For an hour. Poor Jeff, yeah.
Parents should know how to control their kids. What turns, you know. What
spoken like a man who never has and probably never will have kids.
This is true. But if I did, they'd be well behaved.
Uh-huh.
Smack the crap out of
them. There you go. Corporal punishment my way. I like it.
By the way, two movies I saw on the way today. I finally saw Serial Mom.
Oh, God, I haven't seen that in years.
Well, you know, I had these on DVD.
They showed that. Oh, I was wondering, what airline is showing Serial Mom?
But it was great. Wow, it's so funny.
Psycho Airways. Last House on the Left and Serial Mom.
That's
double
right.
Feature. And what else? What other?
And I saw Connie and Carla.
What the hell is Connie and Carla?
Oh, my God, it's a great Nina Vardalos movie.
Oh, the woman who did the My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Right.
Oh.
Well, she wrote another one.
Yes.
About two women who are really into Broadway show tunes and are trying to... You see them in the very beginning, like, on the cafeteria tables, and just trying to entertain the kids with Broadway tunes.
Oh, I did see. I saw that on cable. There was something to...
And
some
then,
of it was
and then
dumb
they
and,
saw, they saw yeah. murder, and people are after them, so they go to... They have to go, where can we find a town totally devoid of culture and no theater?
Yeah.
L.A. So they go to L.A., and they end up somehow in this gay club, and they find that they are auditioning for new talent for the drag show. So they decide to become girls who pretend to be boys pretending to be girls.
I remember seeing bits of it and
like
thinking Stephen it was pretty funny.
Was in it.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
It was a lot of fun.
Good.
A lot of fun.
Well, cool. Now, we have probably about 2 or 3 minutes. Tell us in very, very shorthand, how was your trip?
It was great. Well, my trip to Thailand was wonderful.
Yeah.
I saw my friends Pop, and I saw...
You saw your friend Pop?
Pop. I saw...
Pop,
whose name is Thanachai. His real name is Thanachai, but every Thai person has a nickname.
Right.
So that, I guess, Americans and Westerners can pronounce it better.
And his nickname is...
No, his real name is Thanachai. Thanachai.
Okay, I prefer Thanachai.
Well, you prefer a lot of things.
Yeah.
But... So anyway, so I saw all my friends. They were great. We went to the king's 80th birthday.
Ooh.
We sang his theme and held up candles, went hi for good long life for the king.
Da 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 da. Who said his birthday? Da 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 da. Happy birthday to you. Okay, sorry.
Don't make fun of the king.
He's not my king. He's not your king either.
But he's a really great person.
How did you become king then?
He was born or raised in Connecticut. So.
Really? Okay.
Well, his brother was king, and then the brother was either assassinated or died on under mysterious causes.
Hugo should be a verb now. You know, with that, the way that family has gone down, it's like, Hugo'd.
Well, did you hear what happened today?
What happened today?
In her will, she left the control of the PPP, the Pakistani People's Party,
yeah,
to her husband. And her husband says, no, give it to my son. He really did.
I have an enemy. Could you please give control of the party to my enemy?
So he gave it to his son. Now his son, his I think, 19-year-old son, who's attending law school, is the head of the PPP.
And is he attending law school here or
in England?
England. Oh, he's all right.
What's the big college there? Cambridge.
Okay. As soon as he gets set foot on Thai soil.
Not Thai, it's in Pakistan.
Oh, excuse me, Pakistani soil. They'll give him like a shirt with big red circles on it. Like, he'll say, new leader. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm taking away your Thai time. So continue. We went to the King's birthday party.
It was really wonderful.
Millions of people having a wonderful time. Free food.
It was free food for all.
Okay.
It was so not American. It was like, it was kind of chaotic, but organized. People, you know, although they were kind of packed in and they were pushing and shoving, they weren't like walking over people and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
They just kind of kept walking. It was really weird. Like, I found a seat. There was a place selling food at the night, and I was really tired, and I said, can I sit down? I'll buy the food, but I don't want to eat it, because I know it was going to be really spicy.
Oh, okay.
So I said, but I just want to sit. No, just sit. It's okay.
Very nice. Yeah, I mean, they seem like a nice...
Oh, they're wonderful people. That's why I love it over there.
Cool.
They're all wonderful. And then after Thailand, I came home for 4 days and immediately went out to California, saw my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately from California went to Florida because my stepmother, well, not really my stepmother, my father's wife.
Okay.
My father's widow.
Mistress. I think it's No.
They were married.
Okay.
But, so I went down and visited her. And then it started at 7 a.m. I had a flight from Florida Friday morning, and I came back. I landed in New York this morning. I went from Florida to San Jose, and then from San Jose to New York, all in about 87 stops.
Oh, God. Well, but you're here, and when did the cold hit you? Did it hit you finally back
already? No, it was in Florida where I got it.
Oh, God. So are you over the hub, or is it still in the backstage?
I'm not sure. I keep thinking I am, but depending on what time zone I'm in, it clears up.
Interesting. Anyway, I'll tell you what time it is. It's 11:14 p.m., which means we have to get to the rest of the show, including Inside Broadway and some of our graggage. Are you yawning about
Broadway? I was... Oh, I'm so excited about Inside Broadway.
Well, this is a big one because we're going to be talking about the year in theater. I'm also going to be reviewing Cymbeline at the Vivian Beaumont Theater.
Oh, that's a
theater.
Big one.
Well, it is pretty big. It's got Martha Plimpton in it and Michael Cerveris and Jonathan Cake, the English actor. Kind of interesting stuff. And then,
can you have your cake and eat it, too?
Well, let's just say I think the women will find him rather yummy in this Cymbeline.
Ooh.
Ooh. So would you. I don't know what that means, but yeah. I mean, he plays a rather charming but real serious villain.
Ooh.
Ooh. Anyway, all of that
on
Inside...
Is it a cakewalk?
Ba-dum-bum. Well, let's get to the icing. That's not even funny. I need a better
pun. I Ching.
Yeah, I Ching. I've been wearing this sweater, and I've been I Ching all day. Okay, it's time for a commercial.
Moby Dick, Ulysses, War and Peace, the Bible. Big freaking deal. If you want to read a real book, a funny book, try Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, a collection of comedies by Dave Lefkowitz, me, the host of Dave's Gone By. Each play is stage-tested and relatively safe for public consumption. Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, available from Holvo Books on the Dave's Gone By website. It's the great American something. What's black and white and red all over? Photocopies made at Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway. Any job that you have, including black and white copies, and they've got a brand new color copier, great quality, good prices,
wonderful family that has owned Hewlett Minuteman Press since the 1970s. So check them out, 516-569-5577, Hewlett Minuteman Press. They're the kings. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. La 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 la.
I love those nine women.
Yes, actually, we never really explain it, but that is the overture opening for the musical Nine, so which is, by the way, being made into a movie.
Of course.
Well, yeah, now they're doing, you know, there was a point when they were making more musicals into movies, and then Chicago came along, and that opened
up. And now you get to meet my good friend Sweeney.
Oh, did you see Sweeney Todd? I am dying to. I really want to see it.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, I'd see it with you, but then you'll probably go and see it without me.
Oh, stop that.
That seems to be the way he works.
Kind of.
He Dave says, oh, Jeff, I want to see this movie. Let's see it together. I said, okay, Dave, I won't see it.
That and happened once.
It happened
with Borat.
8,000 times.
What other movie? We were going to see Borat, and then someone bootlegged Borat, and then I saw it that way. It just happened.
Uh-huh.
Not that I have a bootleg copy of anything, besides it was years ago. Sorry.
Come and arrest him. This will be the last episode.
Dave's gone. Well, it is for 2007, but we plan to do a few more of these in 2008, and 9, and 10, and 11. Anyway, let me get quickly to a review of Cymbeline, so we can get on to the best and worst of the year in theater. Cymbeline is playing at Lincoln Center's Vivian Beaumont Theater. That's their Broadway house up on 65th Street.
It's above their off-Broadway house.
Right. The off-Broadway is in the basement, and the Broadway house is right in the main.
Isn't it kind of hilarious?
You know what's sad, though?
What?
When I go to Lincoln Center, I think it's one of the most beautiful places in the world. When I walk outside on 65th and you see that building in the back and the fountain. In daytime, also at nighttime.
Yeah.
To me, it's a miracle. It's just the most beautiful thing.
Wonder of wonders.
Miracle. Yeah. But have you been there recently?
No.
The whole other side of it, where they had the reflecting pool, that long pool towards where the Mitzi Newhouse is. All, like, boarded up construction. They're redoing the whole
thing.
What are
they doing?
It's like, you've got to walk around and...
They're building condos over the reflecting pool?
I don't know what the heck. Well, they've got it's an old edifice now, the whole thing. They've got to, I guess, redo it.
So I guess they're doing an edifice rex.
Bum, bum. I know I set you up for that one. So it is kind of sad. It's when you first see it, it's still beautiful, but once you go into the complex, it totally loses the majesty. It's just another thing under construction in New York. Well, now that they finally finished all those buildings on the West 40s, and you see these magnificent office towers for the New York Times and stuff, now that looks nice.
And that Westin Hotel. I like that Westin Hotel building.
Where's
all the colors, and everything's going in weird directions.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, I know that one. But anyway, sorry. Got off topic here.
Yeah, well.
Cymbeline, which got amazing reviews, by the way. It's one of the hot tickets.
It's amazingly bad business.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Cymbeline, by the way, was one of the shows that was not affected by the strike.
Right.
So even while everything's on strike, Cymbeline's pulling in 70%.
Well, because it's in 65th Street and people don't really, you know, but
they don't want to see
a
rarely produced Shakespeare play, actually. And also, it's a subscription theater. So, and then when it came, everything came back off strike, Cymbeline went down to like 20%.
Ouch.
And it's still like doing
despite really getting some sensational reviews. It really did. And it has a star of sorts in it, Martha Plimpton, who was at one point a movie star, now becoming something of a theater star because she was in Coast of Utopia and a couple of plays, one after
She's
the other.
She's becoming a regular Lincoln Center player.
She's very, very good.
Yeah, oh, she's an excellent actress.
Now, did you see Cymbeline?
No, I have not.
You have not yet seen it. I would
like to be one of those 20% if they don't mind.
Well, I'll tell you, it's worth seeing. I can't say that I got into it. I was totally, I mean, I realized it was well done, and they're beautiful backdrops, but like in a lot of recent Shakespeare's, they don't really bother much with sets. They just have the actors coming out in their costumes, beautiful backdrops, great lighting, and they're just sort of standing there in the middle of the thing and talking to each other for 3 hours.
Me thinketh.
So I would like to see, I don't know, wouldn't someone like to design a set again?
With David Jenkins when you need him.
Yeah, or anybody.
Boris Aronson. Well, Boris Aronson, I think, died.
Yeah, maybe, possibly. As far as the play itself, you know the plot of all of Cymbeline?
No, what's Cymbeline about?
It gets ridiculously complicated because it's
Is it a tragedy, a comedy, or
or a romance or a history. It's a little bit of all of it.
Well,
that's
not
the
a
point.
History play, is
it's
it?
A big old jumble. It is based on a King Kimberlame or something like that, so there's some truth to it. But the whole rest of it is all fantasy. And as you said, it's part tragedy, it's part comedy, it's this weird jumbly mix that sometimes works really well, and sometimes it's very jarring.
Someone said, Bill, pick a subject and stick to it.
Well, here's what happens. Like, there's one character, now granted, the actor plays it straight for comedy. He's a villain, but we don't really feel like he's ever capable of doing anything terribly wrong, because he's so bumbling. He's a marvelous performance by Adam Danheiser as Clotten, and he's the guy who's very vain, and we're always playing on that, and he cuts himself on his own sword. And it's all a lot of business that the director and he did for this character. What happens to this character? I hope I'm not giving this away, because you can read it as well as see it. Yeah, they cut his head off. And suddenly, they see the other characters dragging his head on. Now, we like him. He's funny. He was bad, but we miss him. And you know, this weird feeling.
And I bet you he misses his head.
That's right. Well, also I wasn't expecting to see him go topless on stage. But, there is another scene that should be really, really sad and tragic. And it's almost impossible. You've got the character played by Martha Plimpton. And she thinks her boyfriend is dead. Because she, not her boyfriend, her husband, her secret husband, the person for whom she has been imprisoned and he's been exiled, and she sees him because he's got the clothing, but his head's been cut off. So all she sees is this man in her husband's clothing with no head lying on the beach, and she's like, kissing him and hugging him, and it's like, ew!
How did she kiss him if he had no head?
Well, she takes, the blood and she puts it on her face, and she's like, it's supposed to be really touching, but it's like, ew.
It's a little unnerving.
Yeah, it works, but it doesn't work, but it works. What's really great is, like A Winter's Tale, which hangs together a bit better than this, the last half hour, it's a three-hour play, the last half hour is one of those Shakespeare plays where everybody explains everything, and it's wonderful.
Good. Now you're going to tell it. Now they're not even going to have 20% in the theater, because everyone's going to second act it or third act it.
Yeah, but you can't just second act it, because you won't know what's going on that they're all explaining. But it's one of those where one character will step off, wait a minute, I know him, he's the one who did this, and then another character will come out, but that's when this happened.
That's like a Deus Ex Machina.
And the audience starts laughing and enjoying it in a way that they really haven't most of the show. It can be a slog.
How many people left before that scene? That's what I want to know.
You make it sound like such a flop. It's actually
no. I just
really
want to know,
well,
but it sounds like people didn't enjoy it until this.
It was very schwach applause by intermission. People were like, okay, but they were in it for the long haul.
Did people stay?
Yes, they stayed.
Okay,
and it wasn't 20% in that. It was a pretty okay house. There wasn't full, but it wasn't empty either by any stretch.
Good.
And they saw some really good acting. Martha Plimpton is terrific. I didn't recognize Michael Cerveris, because he's a bald guy with no facial hair whatsoever, and here they give him this weird wig, and he plays her husband. Jonathan Cake is the other villain, the real bad guy, but he's kind of weird and sexy and fun to watch, and this being Shakespeare, you figure he's about to commit rape, but he doesn't do quite that. He just makes believe he committed rape. It's that kind of a play, and he's terrific. Didn't like John Cullum or Felicia Rashad too much. They play the king and queen. She's evil. He's in between both.
He's John Cullum.
He's John Cullum. And unfortunately, he's a very stick John Cullum in this particular thing. I usually like him a lot.
I'd rather see him as a dog.
I liked him in The Grinch. That was his last big role on Broadway. It was How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Oh, and then 110 in the Shade. He was delightful. Here, he's just kind of standing around stiffly being angry. He could do better.
And Felicia Rashad?
What they said about her in the review, she was the only one who got bad reviews from everybody. It was all about the way she spoke and hitting all the diction to be the bad. But it wasn't as bad as they said. She worked within the context, because she's supposed to be a cartoonish sort of evil queen. And she has a mad scene
off with her head.
Her head, she dies, but the head stays on, apparently. Supposedly.
Well, everyone else is getting everyone's losing their head.
Only one guy loses his head.
Well, others are pretending to lose their head.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's potions, and there's fake deaths and real deaths, and it's got everything.
How fun is that?
You know, in the last 25 minutes, it's a whole heck of a lot of fun. But you have to travel the course to get there. Anyway, Cymbeline, very mildly recommended, but recommended on Inside Broadway.
When does it run into?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it has a couple of weeks left. So you still have time.
I think it's still beginning or middle of January.
Well, yeah, a couple of weeks. So we've got a bunch more stuff to do on Inside Broadway and Dave's Gone By, but we got to do this commercial for Performing Arts.
I love commercials. Let's do one.
Let's start at the very beginning.
Whether you're at the very beginning, the middle, or the end of the Broadway season, everything you need to know about Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, and dance is in the pages of Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. Available 21 times a year or just in the monthly edition, either way, Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off. So subscribe now to Performing Arts Insider and find out all the information at PerformingArtsInsider.com.
I'll make it easier for you.
Yes, Performing Arts Insider makes it easier for all of us to know everything about Broadway.
What a wonderful segue that was.
That was a good segue. I don't always do them well, but that was a good segue. Thank you.
Did you really plan that like that?
Oh, sure. I know this. Hello, I've heard this commercial about 100 times. It's Rebecca Luker saying, I'll make it easy for you. So I can kind of, you know, I know it's coming.
And I bet you she said that to her husband.
Bum, bum, shh. Hey, but don't make fun of Rebecca Luker or her wonderful husband. They've both been guests in the neighborhood.
But he's losing his job this week.
Oh, Drowsy Chaperone is closing. What is his name again?
I can't remember. It's very Jewish.
Yeah, Burstein. Isn't it Danny Burstein?
Danny Burstein, yes.
So he's been playing since it opened.
Aldolfo.
In the Drowsy Chaperone. Terrific show. Go see it before it closes.
It's amazing. It's closing like this weekend.
This weekend, I know, because the end of the season, yeah. So if you haven't...
That's the end of the season, end of the year.
End of the year, excuse me, you're right. And he's really funny. The show's really funny. If you've never seen it, go see Drowsy Chaperone, for gosh sakes.
It was just a surprise that it was closing. It's just like, boom, it announced it's closing, boom, that was it.
Well, it'd been, you know, it wasn't doing the business for the past couple of months that it had been, so... Yeah, it's been around for 2 years or so.
It made its money back. So.
Oh, yeah, a while ago. And I could see it staying a while longer. It's a shame it has to go.
It's probably, you know, the theater needed it. I mean, there's just such a shortage of theaters.
Well, anyway, let's celebrate shows. See, Drowsy Chaperone was already 2 or 3 years ago. Let's celebrate the best and the worst of 2007 in theater, courtesy of Total Theater and Performing Arts Insider.
I hear Performing Arts Insider had a list.
They did indeed a best and worst list. I'm going to go 10 to 1. This is my list. Now, there's also another co-publisher, Richmond Shepherd, who was the editor before I was, and his list includes, I'll do it pretty quick for him, he broke things up into musicals, plays, and solos. For his best musicals, he liked the Christopher Durang show Adrift in Macau, which I did not see, Curtains. He loved Love Music, which is on my list, and Bukowskiville. Yes, he liked it. Best plays included Two Trains Running, Frost Nixon.
Yeah, but that's an old play.
They did a revival of it off Broadway.
I know.
So.
But how could it be?
Best show. Well, best show's non-musical. Horton Foote's Dividing the Estate, which a lot of people really liked. I didn't get to see it. I Dig Doug. I think it was a cabaret thing. I did not see that either. And, let's see, in solo shows, the cool thing is, his favorite solo show was my favorite show of the year. I'll tell you what it is in a couple of minutes. But let me start at number 110. Excuse me, number 10 is 110 in the Shade. The revival with Audra McDonald, Broadway superstar worth waiting for.
And the somewhat boring John Cohen.
Not in that show. In that show, he was perfectly good. And it was a lovely... the revival was about her.
Look, there's a little theme going on. He plays Audra McDonald's father.
Yeah.
And then he's married to Felicia Rashad.
Yeah.
Interracial, very interracial, Mr. Cohen.
And he played a dog in Grinch,
who was
so
black and
species.
White.
There you go. So, hey, a little Jungle Fever for John Cullen, ladies and gentlemen. Number 9 on my best list for 2007, Is He Dead?
Ah, very good choice.
The New Old Farce. Did you see it?
No.
Oh, well, it is. Well, I laughed a lot. And it's Norbert Leo Butz, who just made me laugh to weeping in... Oh, what was that musical?
When He Liked Big Stuff?
Yes. What was the musical? Oh, my gosh.
It was...
Okay. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yes.
So he's still just as funny here. It's an old play by Mark Twain that David Ives went and revised. Is He Dead? It's on Broadway. It's becoming one of the surprise hits of the season. People didn't
Excellent.
Know anybody would buy tickets, but the reviews were good, and people are laughing. It's funny.
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
Number 8 is something everybody will get a chance to see because it's moving from off-Broadway, where it played a few months ago, to Broadway. Do you know what it is?
It's a musical about Uptown.
Yes, In the Heights.
In Heights.
Yeah, really, really fresh, fun, and funky. In the Heights. Look for it coming to Broadway in about 2 months.
It's funky fresh.
Now, number 7, a lot of people are going to disagree with me, but I had a terrific time at the new Mel Brooks musical.
Oh, Young Frankenstein. Well, that was okay.
Just okay?
I'm not sure. I don't think it was a great year for theater. Besides Spring Awakening.
Oh, I think it was a terrific... We're having a wonderful season right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes Spring Awakening and, like, Grey Gardens from the last part of the season, and now you got some of these shows...
Grey Gardens opened... Didn't Grey Gardens open in 2006?
No, it was up against Spring Awakening.
No, but...
it opened off Broadway.
Opening in 2007, and Grey Gardens opened in 2006.
So for the year, you're right. But they were up for Tonys the same time. But Young Frankenstein... Is it as great as producers?
It sounded as great as producers,
but
it was
great.
Fun.
It was
really fun.
It was funny, and please, Andrea Martin.
Andrea Martin.
Had a wonderful time and laughed a lot. And then that's the scene, Roll in the Hay. Is that brilliant or what, with the horses?
Yes.
So, number 7 on my best list. Number 6, something that's been on, that should have been on my list every year, but, you know, I let it go, I forget. Well, you're good. That's right. Number 6, Forbidden Broadway, Rude Awakening. Not the best one they've ever done. Not necessarily even the best cast. But I started the season with it, and it reminds you just how smart... Now, granted, a little bit of bias, Gerard was on this show a couple of weeks ago.
It doesn't make a difference. He's always brilliant.
Yeah.
It's always fun. If you
hilarious.
Love Gerard, you'll love that.
It made me so happy to be back in the theater, you know, after the summer I didn't go much and stuff was happening. And I just went, I was like, yes, this is why I do it. The audience was loving it to pieces. It's funny. Forbidden Broadway. Number 5, something that surprised me. I usually don't like plays by this guy. They usually bore me, and they seem pretty damn pretentious. And this one is sometimes boring and pretentious. But it's boring and pretentious a little bit in its 3 hours, rather than his last play, which was 9.5 hours. Or, well, no, it's closer to 8.5 hours, if you cut it down. It was in a couple of pieces.
Which one?
Tom Stoppard. Back on Broadway with Rock and Roll.
I haven't seen that.
Rock and Roll is the first play of his I've actually liked in a long, long time. It's got some dull patches, but it's got heart. And it's interesting. And most of the scenes, you're like, oh, I'm following this, and I care about these people. And, you know.
Good.
And it doesn't go so much all over the place. It sticks to the people that we're really following rather than going all over the place. So that's my number 5. Number 4... which was also on Richmond Shepherd's list, Frost Nixon.
Well,
good,
that was brilliant.
Fun
that was brilliant.
Theater.
Yeah.
Brilliant acting, good play. Even if, like the Farnsworth invention, it's also made up history. It wasn't necessarily all true the way he told it.
Okay.
But, how, you know, Frank Langella, that scene on the monitor, remember? Wow. Wow.
Okay.
Number 3, in my top 3 now,
keep going.
Journey's End.
Really?
Super.
I don't think that opened in 2007, did it?
Ooh. Yeah, it did. Actually, this is from my list of shows I saw in 2007, not from Tony's or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
So
maybe
it definitely opened in 2007. And it's an anti-war play written after the First World War by R.C. Sheriff. And I had read the play before seeing the show.
Well, bravo for you.
No, but I'm saying I figured, you know, okay, I knew it was a good play going in, but if it were an app production,
right?
But the production was powerful, and it got me. It was a good
piece. I hope
there's
a Spring Awakening coming.
Spring Awakening, as you said, was 2006.
No, it opened in 2007.
Well, I think it made my honorable mention. Yes. It's somewhere in my
honorable
mention.
I bet you're wrong. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Nope, my number 1.
No, 2.
Oh, no, excuse me. I'll be right back. I have to do number 2. No, just kidding. Number 2, is almost a solo show, but it's not quite. It was the revival of Talk Radio, the Eric Bogosian drama, with Liev Schreiber, absolutely amazing, as Barry Champlain, the angry radio host. And it's a heck of a... I mean, it influenced me so much that for weeks afterwards I was angry on the radio because I wanted to be that powerful kind of magnetic character that I saw on that Broadway stage. played by Liev Schreiber.
Okay.
Really, really great stuff. And my number one.
For number one, which is like a solo show, because I know.
It isn't a solo show. What solo show is playing on Broadway right now? It wasn't that boring Vanessa Redgrave thing that was, you know, about the cancer woman.
Really?
It wasn't. No, not that.
It's A Bronx Tale.
Yep. I never saw it originally, so maybe people who have don't have, you know, another connection to
that
it.
That was your best play.
Never saw the movie either. Yeah. It's a terrific solo performance, and it's a damn good play. It just moves it. It goes Chaz Palminteri on Broadway in A Bronx Tale. Marvelous. Now, after hearing all that, you're saying, of course, I left out Spring Awakening.
I left out Spring Awakening, which was absolutely my favorite thing of the year.
Uh-huh. Any other thoughts? Any other things that you wish were there but I didn't mention? Besides the cough.
No. I'm trying to think. No, I have to go through it. I wasn't really prepared for this.
Yeah, well.
So...
Okay, well, if you think of anything, what I will do is I'll go through a couple of the worst shows.
Well, what got honorable mentions real fast, and I'll tell you what it is.
Oh, God, well, really, really fast. Yeah. Let's see, I did give Coast of Utopia honorable mention because of the ambition,
okay, well,
and some of it was real good.
Thing. Okay, go ahead.
But it was also, Prelude to a Kiss, I like the revival of that.
Okay.
There was a revival off-Broadway of Room Service that was very funny.
Yes.
Oh, you saw it?
That
yeah.
was this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw it this year. It might have been, they did it in 2000 and then brought it back and then saw it this year.
Curtains I didn't like.
Curtains was fun. Enjoyable. That's what I want. Moon for the Misbegotten, except
what about
Kevin
Xanadu?
Spacey.
You didn't...
Xanadu's on my honorable mention.
Okay.
I'm reading the list. I'm getting to it.
No, I'm listening. Just answered.
Xanadu's not on my best of. It wasn't that funny.
I thought I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
I like Inherit the Wind. Christopher Plummer and Brian Dennehy. Where can you go wrong?
It was so tired.
I thought it was real good. Radio Golf, pretty good August Wilson play. There was a Spalding Gray memory thing where people acted out part.
Uh-huh.
That was very, very touching and very, very good and funny.
Did you like Walmartopia?
I liked it. Didn't make honorable. It was okay. You know, it was like 2 hours of something that should have been 45 minutes.
Okay.
Pygmalion. Big surprise
really?
After those reviews. And I thought Jefferson Maze was really delightful to watch. A good revival of a show at the Mint Theater called Return of the Prodigal. And there's a, you know, Xanadu, as I said, The Ritz.
Yay! I should have said that, because I didn't enjoy that.
Yeah, Ritz was fun. Cyrano de Bergerac, because of Kevin Klein.
Yeah.
The Grinch, because it's a nice show, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yeah, but you saw that years ago, too.
Last year, yeah. But it came back, I guess, maybe it fits, maybe it doesn't. The Seafarer, which is very, very funny. It is, it's too long, and I don't like the metaphysical stuff. But there are parts of it really funny. And the one that's probably going to win the Tony and the Pulitzer, August Osage County, which isn't that good, but it's good. So those are the best. And now for, did I put in my worst? Where's my worst? Oh, here they are. The bottom three, ladies and gentlemen. And there were three.
There were only three?
Because it was that kind of year. Also, I didn't see so much that I clouded up my schedule with garbage. So my third worst was Love Music. the Weill and La Guinena piece, which John Simon called very likely the best musical I have ever seen. Wow. That just blew my mind when he said that. If I could stay awake, maybe I'd like it too. My number two, unfortunately, was the Athol Fugard play Exits and Entrances, which bored me.
It bores the crap out of me.
This was a boring one. Bad one. And then number one, a comedy that played for a couple of weeks called Sealed for Freshness, which was stale. Stale indeed. Any thoughts on your worst of the year?
I'm trying to remember what I hated. I don't know if I saw... It was a slow year.
Or just honorable mentions kind of thing.
The theater was... It was like a rough year for me in a lot of ways, so I didn't get to see a ton of theater this year.
Was there a moment in... It's probably coming from Spring Awakening, but one moment in 2007 that you will remember forever?
My God. Well, Spring Awakening...
Well, yeah, but some element in it.
Just John Gallagher Jr.'s performance
was
riveting to me. And he's gone from the show now.
Or does he leave next week or something?
His initial contract ran out. Won the Tony. I'm sure they threw money at him and he left.
Oh, well.
I think he's just a weird little actor kid.
But in that role... And the haircut, even. Just everything was right.
Perfect. And he was perfect in Rabbit Hole, too.
Yeah, he was the kid who accidentally killed the... Anyway, We've got to move forward.
As a matter of fact, by the way, if on YouTube, there's a very interesting clip of on The View that they did.
Of Spring Awakening or
Awakening?
Yeah. Yeah.
On The View.
Yeah, on The View.
Yes.
The View, yeah.
And Rosie O'Donnell was talking to him and said, "Oh, so is this your first Broadway show?" He goes, "No, it's my second. I did Rabbit Hole." She goes, "And you just see her face? Oh, you were the kid who ran over the kid." He goes, "You were terrific." I mean, it's great when you see
when you have that moment. And
she just had no idea because they're such different characters. And she just had no idea that it was him.
It was
great.
Well, I'm mean no matter what I do. So at the moment, I've got to stop doing Inside Broadway and move forward with the rest of Dave's Gone By so we don't enough time
to
fit it all in.
I'll get back to the fan theater later.
You got it. After these messages. We've just been Inside Broadway thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider.
MortgagesRock.com. Online training, it's free, it's fast. Needs no explaining, designed for your success. It's easy to be the bomb at MortgagesRock.com.
You've heard my voice, now see my face! I'm Rabbi Saul Solomon, and I'm on TV every Wednesday morning at 7:30 on Cablevision Channel 20. Watch Shalom Dammit! I talk about Jewish culture, holidays, Edward James Olmos, whatever I damn well feel like! Shalom Dammit is produced by the same folks as Dave's Gone By. So much for quality control. Shalom Dammit, Wednesday morning, Channel 20, 7:30. Or anytime on YouTube. Put the face to the voice.
Yes, the unmistakable voice of Rabbi Saul Solomon, Wednesday morning, 7:30 on Channel 20. Don't miss it. Got new episodes coming up after this week.
Just wake up to that voice.
Yeah, right? I do every day. In a manner of speaking. Anyway, it's time to kind of just do a lot of thank yous and remembrances of people who did special things for this program, Dave Has Gone By, over the course of the year. Just to acknowledge them, what they're doing, where they're at, and to send out shout-outs and remembrances. I wanted to leave some time for that. So, Jeff, if you want to start just for family and things like that, or people
well,
you want to acknowledge.
Family, you know what happened. That my world fell apart this year when my father passed away. So.
And that was about 4 months ago, was it, or
no,
something?
No, that was April.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was a long time ago. Yeah.
April 18th, so. And his lovely wife, Trudy, it's her birthday today.
Okay, well.
And Trudy has been on the air speaking of my father's prowess, so it was. So.
Well, back when he was. Yeah, it was on our show like 2 years ago. She was in.
Yeah, it was
kind of a wonderful conversation. I'll never forget that. But, that was pretty rough, obviously.
Yeah, very bad.
But do you want to give a shout-out to any family members or others?
Well, we also met Janice this year.
Janice, your cousin.
My cousin Janice, who had a divorce and is currently seeking single men.
Very openly. We can't talk about cousin Janice without talking about other men, other men. She wants men.
Then she goes, "Oh, don't talk about me on the air."
Oh, great. Thanks. Thanks for telling me that afterward. Okay.
But that's okay. But if you're single and you're living near San Jose, California,
because
she doesn't live in San Jose.
Is she doing J-Date or anything like that? Or
I don't know. She's going to dance class and picking up all the guys.
Okay. Well, good for her. Yeah, she loves
one
dance.
One morning she went to dance class. Said, "I could do that.
I can do that." Yeah, that was, I think, almost on my honorable mention, the Chorus Line Revival.
Chorus Line open.
It's before. Anyway, let me then just run through the list, and you can comment, Jeff, as you please, on some of the folks who appeared on this program in the past 52 weeks. I want to thank, I'm just going to read them up and tell you what they're doing. John K. Hartman, he was the fellow we had on talking about when Rupert Murdoch brought up the Wall Street Journal, and he gave us kind of his perspective on all that from his journalist background. We had Roberto Tirado, the weatherman from the old days of Channel 11.
Love him.
He was delightful. He was so much fun. And thank you to Lou Tolano for setting all that up. Luis Sacco, who is the, she has this long title, but I'll just call her curator of the Museum of Bad Art. If you want to enjoy that, you don't have to go to see it. You can even see it online. It's at museumofbadart.org.
I did enjoy that. I want to give her some bad art.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Cool. Box it up and ship it. They'd love to have it. Man. Although they don't accept everything. I think they only take about 10% of the crap. That's all.
I wonder if they mail it back or not.
If you provide the postage, they will. Otherwise, I guess they make a bonfire two or three times a year in their backyard.
What do you say, just in case, here's some abuse in effect.
Choreographer Bill T. Jones, who took part in our Tony Award special this year. And
yes, and he was the choreographer, winning, Tony Award winning choreographer of Spring Awakening.
So we had a Tony winner, yeah. Yay. Actually, it wasn't technically on...
Which actually wrecked a streak of everyone who appeared on the show not winning Tonys.
True. Comes to that, although not many... Tony nominees have been on it, but the few who had.
Well, because they clamor, but we keep saying no.
Yeah. But no, congratulations to Bill T. Jones on that. Although he wasn't technically on Dave's Gone By, he was on the Tony show, but it's okay.
We won't tell anyone.
I want to thank Richmond Shepherd, who's been on the show when Marcel Marceau died. He came on and talked about knowing Marcel personally. He said,
no.
Fiva Schwinkel, the amazing, the one in the legendary Yiddish theaters, Fiva Schwinkel, who is, by the way, appearing now in New Jerusalem, off-Broadway. It's a new play by David Ives, who's the guy we were talking about before, who rewrote the book on Is He Dead? I want to thank actress Christine Petty, who people can hear daily on Sirius Channel 77, doing the Broadway's Best
I don't
show.
Know why she doesn't change her name to Petty Files. But
Peggy Q. I mean, we make all those files. Jokes. And Petty...
Like the X-Files.
Oh, yeah. She's Petty Philic. And, okay. Put her on a Petty still. And we did. And also, she'll be doing some more cabaret stuff in February, so definitely check her out. Let's see. We did talk to Dick Van Patten, the one and only, from 8 Is Enough. He turned 79 on December 9th, and it was great to talk to him. We talked to actor and author Robbie Benson. He wrote his first novel called Who Stole the Funny, which was a satire of TV and Hollywood, and he was really nice. We talked to, we mentioned before, Rebecca Luker, the lovely and the so, so talented. No, she did not win the Tony when she... when she was doing Mary Poppins. She's still in Mary Poppins on Broadway playing Mrs. Bank. She didn't win the Tony, but we love Rebecca Luker anyway. We've got Drew Velting, the psychiatrist and comedian. Drew Velting was on the show. You can find out more about him at psychcomedy.com. And yes, and the best thing about him is his itinerary. He will be playing at the Doubleday Babcock Senior Center in Oyster Bay on January 10th. Love that. This is Drew Velting, the psychiatrist comedian.
Person?
Yeah. He was pretty funny.
Drew.
And then Ralph Baruch, the founder of Viacom. I was so proud to have him on. Ooh. Ralph Baruch and the author of Television Tightrope. We had Chris Epting on, the author of Led Zeppelin Crashed Here, and The Ruby Slippers, Madonna's Bra, and Einstein's Brain. We had author Frank Scoblett. What a pleasure it was having him on, because I used to act in a theater company that he directed for and co-ran. Now he's making oodles and zillions of dollars casino gambling and writing about casino gambling. So Frank Scoblett, he was an amazing guest. I'd love to have him back on in the year ahead. We talked to Crystal Zevon, author of I'll Sleep When I'm Dead, The Crazy Life and Times of Warren Zevon. She had been married to him, so she knew him better than most. We talked to Dave Prager, author of Poop Culture, about feces. And, of course, that was one of my favorite shows of the year. How could it not be? I was happy to have... In the neighborhood, Jay Jacobs, who wrote the bio Wild Years about Tom Waits, and Karen Quinn, the author of Wife in the Fast Lane and the Ivy Chronicle. She was a lot of fun to talk to as well. We talked to Robert Kalfin of T. Schreiber Studios. He's an actor and director. And to Adrian Milton, the co-founder of the Dachshund Friendship Club. All about our beloved Dachshund dogs.
I must have missed that one.
You kind of did, but that was neat. And the band, Mostly Mop Top, you remember them.
I loved them.
They were a great bunch of guys. And
actually, they're playing on Long Island now.
Well, there were 2 weeks ago, they were at Five Towns College, and I think they have another gig coming up in a few weeks.
They're in Smithtown, I think, right?
No, that was in December. That was earlier in December.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
And then, one of the majors of all time, Joe Franklin, was on my radio show.
I love Joe.
It was such a great show, and he's so magnificent. Joe Franklin. I want to thank also Rob Cole from New York Hockey Talk. He was on our program talking about his WGBB show. We had Gerard Alessandrini, as we mentioned.
Excellent.
The Forbidden Broadway Man. And let's see, Athena Reich, the singer-songwriter, who was real interesting. We had her on twice in a row because she was just so
she just
fun.
Wouldn't be quiet.
Well, yeah, she's a talker, but she was fun and sweet. And speaking of fun and sweet, Jill Sobule, talking to the rabbi. Nothing better than that. JillSobule.com for all her gigs. She's in L.A. in January, but she's always coming back to the East Coast to do stuff. We have Peter Tork. Again, from the Monkees. He came back.
Hey, hey.
He's going to be with a Shoe Suede Blues Band playing at the Patchogue Performing Arts Center in April of 2008. David Bromberg, one of the great legends of folk music, was on this show. Get his album, Try Me One More Time. Let's go through the cabaret people pretty quickly. Charles Cochran was on the show. You remember him. He was great fun.
Sure.
Jason Graw, the wonderful
Love
Jason
Graw. Love
Jason Graw. And then Maude Maggart. Earlier in the season, we had Maude Maggart here.
Yeah.
She's going to be back at the Algonquin Oak Room.
When she turns 150.
No, what are you talking about?
I'm only kidding.
No, we'll have her back here anytime, but she'll be at the Oak Room April 1st through May 10th. So that's about as big as cabaret.
That's nice.
Yeah. Marilyn May, the pretty
Love
legendary Marilyn May. Go to marilynmay.com for her CDs. Richard Skipper, the man who plays Carol Channing everywhere and anywhere, played him here, and he's doing Carol Channing in concert at the Wings Theater January 19th through February 16th.
Showbiz!
Very nice. Not as good as him, but not bad. Carrie Hoffman, who's doing My Sinatra all over the place. He was great to talk to, and the legendary Julie Wilson. Some other of the guests on this program during this
Are we
year,
really going to do all 52?
Well, there were only about 40-something guests, and yeah, we got to acknowledge them and let them know that we're
Okay,
there.
Go ahead.
Because once you're in the neighborhood, you're part of the family. There was photographer Gary Gladstone. We had webmaster George Navrotis. We had Wajid, a.k.a. Swami Baldy G. And the gorgeous sex therapist Karina Kittles-Karsten, who also talked to the rabbi. And the rabbi is begging her to come back anytime, anywhere.
Who hung up on the rabbi this year?
That wasn't this year. That was a couple of years ago.
We're
not going to mention it is the Patinkin who will not speak his name.
Okay.
And also my guest was my aunt Bonnie Pinkow. Talk about a horrible year. She unfortunately lost her husband a couple of weeks ago. So big, big heart out to Bonnie and the family. But it was great having her on the show. And also, as I mentioned, Josh Lefkowitz, no relation, but a monologist, was on the show just last week. I want to thank the critics who appeared on our Tony Award special. Michael Portantier, Iris Dorbian, Ellis Nasour, Jeannie Lieberman, Roz Friedman, Glenn Loney, and the New York Post's Michael Riedel. It was pretty surprising, happy to get him, too. And Simon Saltzman, who came in and co-hosted our Tony special with us, the wonderful good friend of mine.
I forgot one.
Who's that?
Charlie.
No, he's up later in the list.
Okay.
Because he's a little more,
he's more special than the other.
David Hinckley, thank him from the New York Daily News for putting us in his column every once in a
while,
including just a couple of weeks ago. So thank you, David.
I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
Why
he has taste. I want to thank the folks at Bradley Communications, the publishers of the radio, TV, interview reports.
Thanks, Brad.
For all the stuff that they do. And let's see, where's the second page of this? Here it is. Found it.
And we'd like to thank the people who wrote the second page.
Well, thank you.
Who are they?
You're welcome. It's me. The press agents who give the theater tickets and arrange the interviews. People
name them, every single one.
Just the companies. Bone O'Brien Brown, Barlow Hartman, Jeffrey Richards, Peter Cromarty, Jim Baldessari, Karen Greco, Penny Landau, O&M Company. I'm sorry if I'm leaving out anybody. Special big thanks to Beck Lee of Media Blitz. He was absolutely instrumental in lining up some of our best guests. I want to thank Michal Altan and Gregoire Bonnet, great good friends of ours. Had a wonderful time with them on Christmas Eve, and without them, Shalom Dammit would not have happened. That's the rabbi's show. I want to thank Trevor Vassell, who is an engineer here at WGBB, and a new person at WGBB, Stephanie Weil, who stepped in here when I was on vacation and also when I had to go to a funeral, and she's now joining the WGBB staff, so great to have her on hand. Now we get to Charlie Gross, our good friend. Tell him who Charlie Gross is.
I have no idea. I hardly met the man.
He's only been on Charlie's show. Well, no. He's shared. It's not Charlie's show. I'm sorry. They co-host and co-produce Two on the Isle on Manhattan Neighborhood Network Television, have been for a decade and a half, theater reviews on Two on the Isle. And you can go to YouTube for Two on the Isle and see Jeff and Charlie and sometimes me taking part and doing theater reviews. I want to thank Alyssa Amato and Diane Bennett of Cablevision for arranging and getting Shalom Dammit on the air. I want to thank Marty Glynn of TheaterOnline.com, formerly TheaterPod. He's the guy who helped get those episodes, those free episodes of the show on the web, and he's done some other good stuff for me, too. Thank you, Marty. Have a very, very happy 2008. Thank you to Joe Salzone for his friendship and his support of both Dave's Gone By and Shalom Dammit, especially. Thank you. Now we'll go to our sponsors.
MortgagesRock.com, MortgagesRock.com.
Thank you, Andy Leibowitz, who is pretty much the owner of that. Thank you, Mike and Dave Toron and their parents at Minuteman, Unit Minuteman Press.
The Copy Kings of Broadway.
Thank you, Jeff Goodman. Well, you're higher up there, but since you're a sponsor, kind of, in a weird way.
Oh, just thank Fancy Schmancy Balloons.
Fancy Schmancy Balloons,
and
thank
whoever
you so much.
That owner has to be.
And Performing Arts Insider for their support as well.
Yeah.
Thank you to Jeff Lowe and the owners of WGBB Radio for letting me do what I do pretty much without interference.
You're going to make me cry.
Thank you to you, the listeners, for listening. Thank you, Tom Ross, our terrific and understanding program director and boss. He's also the man responsible for letting me do Filler Up once a week, the music show that I do on Saturday evenings.
Are we going to list all the listeners one by one? All 4,000?
We have time.
And now no, we
top,
don't.
The top four, Rabbi Saul Solomon, of, the host of Shalom Dammit on YouTube. You can watch, if you don't have him on Cablevision or you can't wake up on Wednesday mornings, go to Shalom Dammit. And Rabbi Saul Solomon, a wonderful and frequent guest. In fact, he's going to be doing our final song of the evening once we get out of here in a couple of minutes. Thank you, Jeff Goodman, of course, for being a good
friend.
I'm only
number three?
Well, yeah. Sorry, man. You're number three with a vengeance, with a bullet, but you're... Would you rather be number two?
I want to be number one in the hearts and minds of America.
Working on it, but thank you. I mean,
but that hopefully is your wife.
Well, yeah, and number two.
I hope it's your parents.
Is number two. Mom and Dad Lefkowitz. Dad, I love you. I know you're listening. You're always listening. Mom, you're not listening, but I love you anyway.
And we're happy you're sleeping soundly.
And Joyce, my number one, always my number one in my heart and my soul. And in my head and the other extremities I can't mention on the air. Anybody else want to thank before we get to the final commercials and we get out of here?
I just want to thank all my friends and family and anyone who happens to like what I do.
Oh, so there's like three people
there. I'm not really sure what
that is. Jeff Goodman.
Oh, thank you for making my year so horrible, David.
You're most welcome. We'll be right back.
You would be in my top two, not just... you would be higher than three on my list.
Oh, I'd be higher than three. I'd be 2.5. Let me be 2.5. Well, we've got gospel coming in just a couple of minutes, so let's do some commercials, and we will be out of the neighborhood right after that. Ow, ow, ow! I slipped a disc! That is, I slipped a disc into my CD player, and it's a Dave's Gone By CD. That's right, we have literally a couple of hundred Dave's Gone By episodes on compact disc for you to purchase and listen to anytime you want. They make a great gift, they're fun, they're funny, well, at least I think so. Find out more at my website, davesgoneby.org, and start listening to Dave and slipping your discs. Sponsor me, Dave's Gone By. Run your ad, folks will buy. If you want to reach the public, sponsor me. Advertise on this program for incredibly reasonable rates with long-term discounts. See prices at davesgoneby.org or call 516-295-1511. Sponsor me. If you're wise, on Dave's Gone By, you'll advertise. If you want to be successful, sponsor me.
This is Kreskin, and I don't have to read your thoughts to know that you're listening to Dave's Gone By,
and then
WGBB, that's WGBB, and you'll find a strong urge to continue to listen.
And we hope you will continue to listen to Dave's Gone By in all the weeks and months in 2008.
Of course they will, Dave.
Of course they will.
What else is there to do between 11 and 12 o'clock on a Sunday night?
You can write to us at davesgoneby@aol.com.
They could do that any other time other than between 11 and 12 on a Sunday night.
You're right. And they can also surf our website, davesgoneby.org.
Once again, not available between 11 and 12 Sunday nights.
Now, I hope you're all available tomorrow night, New Year's Eve, because the WGBB New Year's special is happening from 7 p.m. until 12 with a break somewhere.
I hear there's going to be Greek music.
From 10 o'clock to 11. It'll be a little preempted by some Greek stuff, but don't worry about that. The rest of it is going to be me. It's going to be maybe Jeff taking part, my wife will be taking part, and some of the great WGBB hosts will be taking part, too. Starting 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Monday, the GBB New Year's special. Lots of music, lots of fun. Do not miss it.
Donuts.
Okay. And let's see, anything else we got to tell you? Not really. In the upcoming, let's go out. We're going to go out with a special hymn.
Aren't we going to have any guests in January?
Yeah, but we're still lining up, and I want to make sure that I have them before I promise them.
And you know they're going to want to be on, because they'll be thanked next year.
Exactly. Well, we're going to try and get Issa back. Issa was the big disaster this month, but hopefully Issa, we're lining it up, and she will be in January. So knock wood. And
then she too can be on the thank you list of thousands.
Just so you know, Issa, former name Jane Sibbery, so rather major singer-songwriter composer. Anyway, we're going to go out with a special hymn from a non-major singer-songwriter composer, Rabbi Saul Solomon. We'll be back tomorrow, and then next Sunday, January 6th, 2008, with a 254th episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman.
Wishing you good night, a happy Erev New Year's Eve, an Erev New Year, Auld Lang Syne, and gone by.
Another year has come and gone that was mostly second rate. But why complain? It's down the drain and forgotten in 08. We're old and gray, we ache all day, but we still get out of bed. So thank Hashem, we still have phlegm and we're technically not dead. So pray for peace and look for love and keep your spirits light. May you be blessed with happiness and the glow of Yiddishkeit. Happy New Year, goddammit, and many, many more. Peace, love, acid reflux. See you next year.